Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the podcast. For this episode, I'll simply be playing the audio track for a video that I recently uploaded to the channel called What ESFPs Need in Relationships. You'll notice that the audio quality changes a portion of the way through. This was because I didn't notice that my microphone had unplugged, which is pretty classic for me at this point. So rest assured, this will not be the standard for this podcast. So I hope that you get something out of this episode and enjoy.
Hello friends, today we are going to be talking about what ESFPs need in relationships. If you have an ESFP in your life or if you are an ESFP, I hope that you learned something from this video. Obviously, knowing MBTI helps us to understand different cognitive functions that different types use, which means that we can understand people's natural tendencies, their needs, their source of energy, as well as their blind spots. So that's why I'm making this video, in the hope that maybe you can understand the cognitive functions of the ESFP and how that influences their needs and where they get their energy and what they sort of look for / need in relationships. Obvious disclaimer, this is mostly from my experience as an ESFP myself, though I have noticed it in other ESFPs in my life. Obviously, I'll be talking about general tendencies that are based on the particular cognitive function stack of the ESFP. There is always room for nuance, which I hope you guys will feel free to do in the comments of this video. Number one, give ESFPs the space to be able to go out and experience things within reason. ESFPs use extroverted sensing as their first cognitive function, which means that they thrive off going out and collecting, gathering experiences in the tangible world, and they get the energy from doing this. So it's important that in relationships they feel free to be able to go out and have their social hobbies, have their time with their friends, play their sports, go on random hikes, go on random other experiential journeys with people. This is so important, I can't even stress this enough. That's why I put it as number one. Some of the best days I've ever had have just been going out and spending the day in multiple different locations, talking to like 50 different people, exploring different venues, all in the space of one day with some loved friends. And I always feel my most energized, my most myself, my happiest, my most fulfilled when I'm doing that kind of thing. So ESFPs need to feel the freedom to go and do that. And that can just look like support from you, like support in the sense of you being like, oh, go explore this thing you want to do, or, you know, go have some social time with your friends, or go have this hobby, or like, here's a gift of, you know, a red balloon voucher. Don't know if you have that, but like experiences in gifts, very important. Number two, make sure that you communicate clearly. ESFPs in general are not good at reading between the lines. This includes your boundaries. Make sure you're communicating your boundaries clearly, and they will also, generally speaking, if they're healthy, be good at communicating their boundaries clearly. They're not going to be able to guess what your boundaries are, what you're thinking, so I cannot stress this enough. Clear communication. I personally am very happy to meet an expectation or respect a boundary if it is communicated clearly to me. I have no issue with that, but I cannot read between the lines unless I know you very well through having multiple experiences with you and watching how you act and communicate with people. Number three, authenticity. Know yourself, work on yourself, and bring that to the relationship. Don't be scared to be real, guys. An ESFP, a healthy one. I feel like I have to keep saying a healthy one. A healthy ESFP, with their tertiary function being extroverted thinking, will not shy away from having conflict, and they might actually be good at having conflict. Also, as an ESFP, there's nothing sadder than being real with someone, trying to be real with them, being open and clear with communication, showing them yourself, and then finding out that that person hasn't done the same back to you, or hasn't been real with you, hasn't communicated with you, because we're not gonna, we're not gonna be able to read between the lines, and then it's kind of like, that was being real, why couldn't you be real? Remember that our second function, which is introverted feeling, values presenting our most authentic and real self to the world foremost, even at the expense of harmony, if necessary. And our second function, which is extroverted sensing, means that our only world, like the real world to us, is the tangible world. So therefore, with the FI and SE together, who we are is what you see. Who we are is what you're experiencing of us most of the time. There's not often a lot going on behind the surface per se. I mean, I do consider myself to have a very intense and complicated interior life, but even so, if you asked me about that, I would be open with you or real with you in some sense. Number four, make plans into reality. That's right, I'm talking to you, NFs. We don't get much from just discussing ideas for the sake of it. We'll need them to actually be actualized somehow, like brought into the real, tangible world. I've said real world before, and you guys are like, but my real world is the abstract world. So I'm trying not to use real world when referring to the tangible world, but that's the real world to me, so bringing them into the tangible world. This can be in terms of conversation as well. Like, we're very happy to discuss abstract ideas and concepts for interest. for instance, but we'll need them to be grounded in examples, like practical, tangible examples, in order to fully make sense or understand what you're trying to say, or like get on board, or really like run with the conversation and get ourselves involved in the conversation. Number five, independence. ESFPs need to feel free to follow their heart's desires and their goals and their impulses, of course, within reason, as always. Remember that with extroverted sensing being our first cognitive functions, we don't just get energy from being in the tangible world all the time, but gathering experiences in the tangible world. We like thirst for the new and exciting. We love to improvise. We love spontaneity. If we don't feel free to be able to do that, we're going to end up feeling trapped or stifled in the same way that, you know, introverts might feel trapped or stifled if they spend too much time around lots of people or lots of external stimuli. You know, they can't help that about themselves. Their energy will naturally get drained. We are very much the same in that we can't help this about ourselves. We need to be interacting with the world. Number six is empathy. That's right, ESFPs are feelers, which means that we do need those FQs and check-ins. We've got our feeling function second and our thinking function third, which means that when we're emotional or we need to express something, we're going to need our feelings to be expressed and validated before we can enter the T realm of finding solutions to the problem or talking logistically through the problem or logically through the problem. As a feeler, when we're feeling an emotion, it takes over our entire world and our existence and our body in a sense, and we'll need to get it out somehow into the tangible world because of that SE. Once it is out though, and we feel like it's been validated or heard or expressed, we can absolutely go into the T territory. Number seven is spontaneity and adventure, and this goes hand in hand with what I said in point five about extroverted sensing needing to experience things in the tangible world. This adventure can be found through experiencing a new novel activity like rock painting, which is something I did in lockdown, or just beach days, or going for a hike, or having a board games night. It's also a good idea not to overplan things with ESFPs, because in true EP fashion, we like to know that we have that wiggle room. Even if we're not going to use it, we like to know that it's there. We like to know that we have the option of going off track or being able to improvise. By the way, if you're wondering what this says, it says Sob Rock, which is John Mayer's new album, and it is an absolute banger. Number eight, if you have an ESFP in your life as a friend or a partner, you're probably going to need to understand that they will probably not be in contact with you for long periods of time. So that independence we talked about before is going to apply to communication as well. Remember, with extroverted sensing as our first cognitive function, this means that we're going to be preoccupied with what is immediately in front of us in our tangible world. So if it's not you, you probably won't be hearing from us. It's why we kind of suck at like replying to long messages, and we'll like leave you on read if you send us like an essay. It's like we just want to answer the message quick and then get back to what we're doing in our real world. So if you're constantly contacting them, or you have these hidden or overt expectations that they're going to be contacting you X amount of times a day or X amount of times a week or X amount of times a month, they're probably just going to end up feeling stifled in some sense. That being said, of course, if you communicate your needs to them, as I said, compromise can always be reached in this area. Number nine is humor. In my experience, ESFPs do not like to take life too seriously. They do have a serious side. That's a common misconception on the internet, is that we don't have a serious side. But I mean, for instance, my day-to-day norm is banter. Like 95% of my day is banter, and then there's the 5% like random FI value that presents itself in a TE rant. So don't go into any kind of relationship with an ESFP hoping that they're going to mature or calm down over time. Trust me, just don't. If the childlike spirit is there, it's likely always going to be there. And it's great and it's endearing. I could me try to convince myself, or nah, it's great. It is great and it is endearing, and there are things to love about it. Also, pro tip in general, not a good idea to go into any relationship hoping that the person's going to change. And number 10, and the last thing that I'll talk about, and yes, I changed the color just because why not? If you've got a friend or a partner who is an ESFP, especially if they're a little bit older, they are likely going to have a set of weird, like strange, wacky, wild, or just unique set of experiences under their belt. Again, because SE makes us want to go out and experience things. So if they're a bit older, they've likely got a story behind them, a story that you might not be able to relate to or even understand. Now, this is important. their experiences don't necessarily define who they are. So if they share their stories with you, what they're looking for is attentiveness, compassion, understanding, and no judgment, ideally.
Yes, I'm talking to you, you SI users out there.
Just kidding, it's not only SIs who are judgmental. Remember that as ESFPs, we have FI second and SE first. So in order to chisel down that FI and work out what our values are and who we are and our identity, we kind of need to be experiencing things in the world, kind of like testing things out in the same way that ENTPs and ENFPs need to be like testing out ideas, gathering, exploring ideas to work that out. EPs, extroverted perceivers, are gatherers and explorers. And with NE, it's going to be about ideas, abstracts, possibilities. With SE, it's experiences. So we might have all of these experiences behind us that you necessarily don't understand or can't make sense of, but it's helped to form who we are today. And it's been our way through which we learn. SE users, especially DOMs, are very much experiential learners. And just because we're gung-ho with our, you know, zest for life in the tangible world, it doesn't mean that we're not sensitive. So if we share with you in vulnerability, and this is important, especially if it has to do with like past wounds or past regrets, make sure you're meeting that with that open-mindedness, that compassion, and that understanding. I know it's easier said than done, but just trying to offer you some perspective here on what it's like as an SE user. I didn't know who I was at 21. I do know who I am at 29, but I'm telling you, I had to go through a plethora of experiences that I wouldn't necessarily repeat in order to get here. And that's not to say I don't regret some of the stuff that I had to go through in order to get here, but the point is, those things do not define who I am today. You know what? It's just a generally good piece of advice to receive anyone who's vulnerable with you with compassion and understanding and empathy and as little judgment as possible.
Thanks for listening, guys. That is it for today's episode. If you liked it, please feel free to tune in for more in the future. I'll be throwing up probably all of my Fridays content in audio format on here, as well as some random other interviews and such. So please feel free to jump on over to my YouTube channel, Dear Kristen, if you liked what you heard today, and also give me a follow on Instagram to see some of my favorite comments from YouTube, my type trend polls, and other random adventures. Cheers, guys, and I'll catch you next time.